Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome, adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Doritos. Hi, I'm Cap.
Roll.
Colin.
I'm Lefty.
And here we are in Chapter 3 of Book 3. For all you RPG fans out there of Nerdy Show's role-playing content, you're definitely going to want to keep an eye peeled for the Call of Cthulhu miniseries that we've started running.
Now, let's be clear about this miniseries. This miniseries doesn't mean that it's an ongoing. It's just a couple episodes. That's it. It's the British version of a miniseries, not the American version of a miniseries.
Right, the American version were like, oh, it's going to be just a short little thing, but it's not. No, it's really, it was meant to be a one-and-done episode, but the recording was so long, that we had to cut it up into a serialized format. So
I heard that's all your fault, Rule.
Well, Rule plays a character in Call of Cthulhu. First time he's been anything but a game master on our recorded programming.
Yes, and that was a lot of fun. I can't wait to do that again.
But hey, that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about Dungeons and Doritos. We have some leftover previews of Dungeons and Doritos issue two of our limited comic series. We published some of them for MegaCon. There's a few left over. If you want to pick those up, dirt cheap over at nerdyshow.com/store. We are eternally grateful if you buy any of our merch. And of course, the fastest way and most efficient way to support Dungeons and Doritos and the Nerdy Show Network is nerdyshow.com/support. And chip in, and any dollar amount that you give gets you all kinds of perks, including a ton of D&D outtakes and even an unreleased D&D episode. And don't forget, Dungeons & Doritos has an original score by Ryan McQuinn. You can pick that up over on Bandcamp. But now, it's Dorito time, guys. What are we munching on? We got Doritos Locos Tacos, nacho cheese and crunchy taco. We got a little bit of intense pickle. We got some Dinamita Nacho Picoso. And all the way from Japan, the succulent, well, I hope, we don't know yet, the sumptuous shrimp mayo Doritos.
Ugh. Ugh. Gross.
It, the scent is kind of like a teriyaki shrimp, but Rule and I are gonna bite into these right now.
Looks like boy. Mayo tastes like teriyaki.
No, sorry, I meant tempura, like a tempura shrimp. All right, here we go.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
I like it. It's sweet.
Ugh. Well, all the Japanese chips seem to be sweet.
It's a sweet, creamy chip.
I don't know, yeah, man. No. Right when it hits your tongue, it's like, I guess, like, give it a minute or two and it starts to settle in. But that initial, like, taste on your tongue was just, it was like, it's like licking a wet shoe.
Speaking of mayo, you sent me a long time ago these teriyaki mayo chips.
You still have those?
Yeah, I found them. They fell behind my computer desk, and I had to. I was redoing stuff in my office, and here we are. Teriyaki mayo, written in Sharpie, and inside of it is a white and red D6.
Are you gonna eat those chips, Colin? Because I would highly advise against it.
I'm gonna. Oh my god, that bag cell smells absolutely disgusting. Alrighty. hold on just one second here while I screw up my courage. Alright, here we go.
I hope the mic aptly is able to pick up your vomiting.
Alright, here we go. Teriyaki mayo from Japan, probably sent to me about a year ago. In a Ziploc bag that was not fully closed.
Oh, that was like 2 years ago, Colin.
As we discovered on the last episode, there is a shelf life to Doritos.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Hold on. Okay, yeah, no. Oh, no, do not. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so here's the thing.
You were eating for a lot longer than I thought you were gonna. You kept going.
No, that was mostly me trying to just hold my mouth open and not continue, but I had to do something with them because I don't have any trash cans or anything like that in front of me, so I had to swallow.
I just want to spat them back into the bag.
The shoe's on the other foot, eh, Peterson?
Yes, indeed. So the teriyaki mayo were stale. The chip itself was wet, like cardboard, like wet cardboard texture. And the teriyaki mayo flavor was not great.
I'm really liking these shrimp chips, though.
I do not recommend 2-year-old teriyaki mayo chips.
Are you guys ready for adventure?
Yeah.
Are you guys ready for Galdap to ramble incoherently at you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready to be fondled by a wizard's mind thoughts?
No.
Yeah.
Well then, brace your loins for inconvenient truths. Once upon a time, the sensual dragonborn Jamella and her nubile pirate compatriot, Lefty, who babysat mischievous Barty Gleeman. And they traveled across the sea to an island where there were drums, thinking that there was some kind of a booty dance party going down. They thought that they would hit the club, but instead they were hit by clubs and spears and puncture wounds abound. And there was mud and chism of animals and vile eyes staring in the darkness. And then they were in a temple and there was like a demigod or something, and they met a hunky dude who was way too cool for school, and then Jamella got some kind of lady problems because she kept fondling him for some reason. Why does she ever fondle me? It took him a long time, but they did it. By God, they did it. And then you think that, oh, maybe they'll come back to, you know, meet up with VMAC, but turns out there's some other stuff to do. Here's what happened.
Dean struggles to wake up. It's dark out. He knows that. There's a fire nearby. He can feel that. And he's hanging by his arms with his legs tied together against something wooden. Maybe a pole or a tree. He knows that he doesn't have any weapons in his hands, and he knows that he's supposed to be fighting right now, because the last thing he does remember is landing on the beach and then the jungle just coming alive with savage natives who come charging out and killing his compatriots, and he picks up his sword and he charges in, and then everything goes black, and now he's hanging by his arms.
Killing all those fools must have exhausted me. I constructed some strange bed to sleep in. And it is very hard to get out of. Why did I do this to myself? Hey, wenches that I slept with, where are you? Dean. Come and release me from this. Dean. I'm tired of this game.
Dean. Good gods, be quiet. There, look around you.
Oh, it's the nameless young man that I'm, that is shadowing me. Hey, who are you anyway?
Steve. My name is Steve. How do you not know my name?
Steve? What a great and honorable name you have, young Steve. Steve, are you bound?
Yes, I'm right behind you.
No, are you bound?
Yes. Yes, I am tied up.
Why did these women invite us both into such pleasures?
I do not know what you're talking about. I think we are both going to die.
From what?
Look up. Them. Stop trying to look at me and look forward.
When you look forward, you can see that you're in a cleared out area. Well, surrounding you is a circle of those natives. Some of them have this peculiar face painting. It's like to make themselves look like skulls. And the others do not. And then up on top of this wooden sort of staircase is a throne. And he must be a chief or someone of great importance. He's flanked by two large natives with spears. But coming down the staircase towards you is a teenage girl. She's wearing some weird bone charms, and she's carrying about a 3-foot long stick with skulls at the end of it, like sort of tied to it with a string. And she gets up real close to you and lifts up your face and looks at you very closely, and then says something back to the king. And he stands up and says something back to her, and then they start arguing. So she must be really important, because she can argue with this guy that's on the pedestal, because right when he stands up, everybody kneels down except for the guards.
Okay.
And she's yelling at him back and forth. And then she starts to walk back towards the staircase, turns around, and then shouts something towards the guards. And two of the guards walk down the staircase over. They go right past you on both sides. And then you start to hear Steve.
You leave Steve alone, you wretches. Put him down. Your quarrel is with me. It's not my fault that I'm so beautiful and blessed with such chiseled muscles that your woman would seek me. Leave Steve alone. He has nothing to do with this. I'm sorry that I caused such a problem.
They're moving past you again, but this time they're dragging Steve. His feet are tied, but he's kind of trying to kick him. And he's struggling the best he can. But these guys are large. I mean, even him trying to tug on his arms and stuff, he's not budging them at all. And they drag him up to the staircase and force him onto his knees. And he looks back at you.
No. No.
Don't do this!
I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
I yell to Steve. Steve, be strong. I will be with you again one day, my friend. Steve, no!
Okay, back in the jungle. Balin stops for a minute and kneels down and he looks around. I'm not sure where to go. Are none of you wise in tracking? I don't know where to go at this point.
Lifty and I are both good trackers. We'll find this village.
Let's do it, Jay.
Except I rolled a 2, so maybe we won't.
I got a 5.
Okay. Basically, you've got two choices. You know, you've got the path that leads back the way you came, but you think what you see is a game trail of some sorts. It's going down through the jungle. You may follow that and hope that that'll take you somewhere, but you know, going back to the beach isn't going to get you any place except the dinghy. And Balin's not leaving until he makes sure that this temple is cleansed forever from these defilers. So, unless you want to leave the village or Balin to get killed.
Well, or we'll leave Balin to kill the nice natives, if there are in fact nice natives like that one fellow who put mud on me.
Chuck! How could you forget Chuck?
I didn't, I just mentioned him. Anyway, proceeding, we'll follow this game trail here. Certainly it will lead back to the village. We haven't been this way before. Perhaps you have.
I haven't been this way, no.
Well, then it must be the right direction.
Let's try it. I'll lead the way.
And I'll hold on to your muscular wrist.
Well, then how will I hold my shield?
Oh, well, just arm in arm, and then we'll, you know, we'll let go if something happens.
You are a strange lizard lady. But if it makes you feel safe, then...
Oh, very safe.
And so, arm in arm, they travel down this game trail. You said you have a detection?
I do.
Barty, do you have, like, a spot?
Yes, I have a spot scale.
Okay, roll that, please.
I rolled an 8 plus 3, so 11.
That would be a critical fail.
You rolled an 11.
Yes.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay, as you guys are traveling down this game trail, you start to hear, it sounds like the natives speaking. They're kind of, it sounds almost like they're debating, two of them are debating back and forth. It's not far ahead of you, but you can't see them.
Shh, everybody down.
What are you talking about? I don't hear anything.
I put my hand over his mouth. Or someone does. Someone should do that. Party. I go up to party. Hush. Hush your dirty little whole mouth. I hear native speaking. You and I must go sneak ahead and see who they are. If they have skull faces or not.
Okay.
All right, we're sneaking
let's
now.
Let's go! There's no one there! Let's go.
Maybe you should stay behind.
Oh, you need me to sneak? All right, let's go.
Oh, sneaky, goddess. Sneaky.
Into the forest.
Jungle.
Into the jungle.
Into the woods.
To grandmother's house. All right. That would be a 10.
Jamala?
I rolled a 9.
Okay. All right, so you managed to sneak down the path far enough where you can see two of the chosen, the men with the painted faces. They are actually heading back towards the temple. As they're walking forward, they stop, and one of them points back the way they had come, and the other one's arguing with him and starts to almost like drag him, like pull him by the arm, you know, as if to say, you know, well, we've got to go up to the temple and check things out there, you know, that sort of thing.
Throwing dagger!
Okay, roll it.
Party.
We don't want to be discovered! You're not even here!
Well, since he's clearly attacking one of them, I guess I'll move to try to knock the other one out.
Okay.
That would be an 11 for the attack.
Okay, and roll damage?
That would be an 11 for damage.
Nice. You hit one right in the chest, and he falls down, and his friend actually goes, like, looks stunned, and, you know, all he really saw was that, you know, his friend had fallen.
Wait a minute. So these people had skulls, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm cool then.
Good for you to have checked that now, you dingus.
And so he's going down to check his friend to see why he has fallen. He's rolling him over as Jamala does her thing.
I attack with my staff as a weapon, so seldom.
What dexterity.
Okay. 8.
8? Yeah, he can't. He doesn't even know that you're there, so he doesn't defend. Roll damage.
6.
So you hit him in the back of the head. Make sure you get a bonus for that. So, yeah, you knocked him out.
Good! Aha! I suppose since they're practically nude natives, they have nothing of use on them.
No, they're practically nude natives.
Well, let's, I guess I shrug at Barty and we drag them off into the shrubbery.
Okay.
And
yes, the dense shrubbery.
I assume it's, they weren't walking down the same path that we had taken originally to the...
No, so they're walking down the same one that you guys were walking down, the game trail.
Okay, so then we were on the right path.
Yep. Confirmation.
Woo!
Continue down the path. Let's go!
A signal for the others. And, you know, grab Balin.
Body's ahead. He's on high alert. He's looking around.
Balin sees the two bodies and as you guys are walking by and nods approvingly.
These are the bad ones. There are good ones. They're not all bad ones.
They all defile the temple. And I don't understand how you could make that judgment call. You have not met any of the good ones except for one. A one who, presumably, could have been leading you into a trap, not a rescue.
He could have also let me bleed out in the rain, but he didn't.
And if he had let you bleed out in the rain, how could he have convinced your friends to go into the trap?
That seems very convoluted, my dear. We should ease your mind. You're far too tense.
I'm about to go into battle. Of course I'm tense.
No. You see, I stroke his bicep as as I'm saying this. You see, because it's an ancient dragonborn fighting technique to remain loose and flexible at all times so that your moves in battle may be fluid like an ocean of force.
Dean unconsciously gets the hugest boner somewhere far away.
I don't understand this, Sara. How is it accomplished?
A clear mind and pushing aside your fears and anxieties.
I am a warrior of the light. I have no fear.
And yet you're tense.
I am like a coiled spring.
Boing.
The spring should only coil when it is about to strike. But before that, it wears itself out, my dear.
I am about to strike. At any moment, danger could come from this jungle, and I must be coiled and ready to strike.
Well, then you can just watch my sensual behind as I move through battle gracefully. And I'll be watching you for a few pointers.
You will be watching me for many pointers.
Whoa!
I certainly hope to.
I love the fact that he will just say shit that to him seems so innocuous. Okay, so
onward.
Dean.
Yes! Dean is here in the most tortured moment of his life.
With Steve bleeding out in front of you from a cut throat.
Oh, if I could reposition my pants, for some reason I am stiff! Steve! No! This can't happen to him! I struggle against my bonds, flexing my great muscles, trying to break them.
Roll strength.
I got a mighty 12.
You're pulling on your binds, and you can feel, actually, from the effort, you can feel that this wooden thing your legs are attached to and like is starting to crack. Like, you actually hear a crack. It's quiet. Okay. You stop for a second, catch your breath, and you think, this is going to happen.
Dean understands, and a part of his brain that previously was unused grows a wrinkle, and he grips the haft of whatever's holding him, and with extreme force pulls it in front of him, trying to break it at its apex, shoving his butt into it. Bam! Snap that twig!
Roll strength again.
17 total.
Wow. Crack!
Sweet. Now it is a weapon, and I rush forward to save my friend.
Well, here's the thing. You cracked the stick that was going up your back, but that wasn't what was holding your hands down.
Oh, no!
That was just bracing your legs so that you couldn't go kicking out. But now you have a weapon in your hand that's still tied, and your legs are free. And as soon as that happens, one of the guys with the spear comes charging towards you. And the girl holding the bloody dagger backs up the stairs.
Damn right. Come at me and meet your death, fool!
I flash a hideous face at him and brace myself for his weapon.
Okay, roll to dodge.
I got a 15.
You still get hit.
Farts! Ah!
You take 4 points of damage. Basically, you manage to kick your legs forward, but you miss him, so you aren't able to actually like block the spear too much, but it scratches across your side. Right. He is in a perfect position to do something.
Receive a wallop?
Yes.
Smack him?
Yes. And you have an unarmed combat skill, by the way, of D12 plus 7.
A mighty blow! And now it is my turn!
I flex my massive muscles and swing my stick at his face with a 16.
Go ahead and roll damage.
My damage is 10. 10 damage.
Jesus. Whack. Yeah, Dean crushes the stick across this guy's skull, and he spins around halfway before he falls to the ground. Also, I just rolled a percentile chance, and the moving around that he just did, his massive weight and pulling and struggling against his bind, the straps that are binding him, have caused the wood that he is tied to that goes across above him to snap, and the bindings have unhinged from the stick, and he falls down to the ground on his knees,
all right,
now holding this,
yes,
this huge stick in his two hands, but there's a spear on the ground also from what was just hit him, and he's still cut on the side, but he's standing alone there in the middle of the village.
Dean sizes up the situation, looking left and right. Alertly, he leaps forward into a roll, scooping up the spear as he does so, and throws it heroically.
Where are you aiming. Throwing it?
I didn't aim. I just threw the shit. I rolled a 12 though, and I just yell yeah and throw the spear in the general direction of in front of me. This.
Yeah, you hit one of the guards next to the king.
Yes.
Roll damage.
What do you want me to roll?
That was like a 5% chance that something like that would happen, and I rolled a
beautiful.
2.
It is a 5.
It is a 5. Okay. It hits the guy in the shoulder. He's on his knees, basically clutching at the spear that's lodged in his shoulder. Many of the guards actually, instead of attacking you, they almost form up in front of the staircase to prevent you from getting to the king. In doing so, though, they've left the jungle behind you pretty much wide open.
Forming a plan from years of battle experience, Dean sizes up the situation. Who is guarding Steve? What are the statuses of Steve's bonds?
Steve is dead.
No! Steve! I scream. I'm scooping up his body to mourn him properly.
Okay. They all lower their spears in front of you as you go towards his body. Oh, getting too close could put you in a position to be attacked.
I point to Steve. He was my friend. Allow me to leave with him. I have none of your language skills, but I know you understand me when I say this. And I lower my stick and I drop it to the ground and head to Steve and clutch him in arms.
They all kind of, as you lower your stick, they all kind of look at him. And some of them actually start to go, like, kind of, like, laugh, like, sucker. And then they all start moving towards you with their spears drawn. They actually step over Steve towards you and keep marching in formation.
Without missing a beat.
And now the,
Dean now runs away.
Now the spear is underneath them and the stick. And Dean's off in the woods or jungle.
See ya, Steve! Sorry you died!
You're running almost blindly through the woods.
I think I might lose these guys. I have huge leg muscles. It's ridiculous. I'm like a horse.
Then you hear, Dean, you live.
Dean will never die. And who speaks to me? Show yourself.
It is I, Balin. Your noble Balin. Leader.
Why were you bailing on me and Steve?
Are we in the perception of seeing this thing that is happening here?
Yes, right down there, the half-naked man running.
Jamella!
What?
Dean!
What a sight for sore eyes you are! Oh, Bart, my friend!
Dean, one-third of War Machine, two-thirds of War Machine, back together!
Get back up here, buddy!
Yeah!
Alright, here's your spot right here. Look, I got a little cushion for you.
Ah, yes, War Machine, and look, once again.
Read the name right there. Here, let me show you. Bart, right? B. Fuck. I can't. I don't know how to read, but you know.
It's
legit, right?
Bird. Birdie.
It says birdie.
Birdie. Yeah, good enough.
Good enough. High fives for everyone. Steve's dead, and there's a huge temple over there that I'm sure Balin would be very upset by, and a king, and a beautiful lady who exchanged quite a moment with me while I was tied up, if I can reveal and be a gentleman.
Balin, did you, Dean? Are you one of the mercenaries that Balin brought here?
Indeed, I was contacted for my skills in battle. Balin knew he needed the best of the best, and so he found my ad in the local
bar. I found them at a bar.
Craigie's list.
The I found bar, him at a where, bar. Where he wanted me to buy his drinks, and if I bought his drinks, he would come on an adventure.
That sounds about right. There was a temple? A village or something?
Yes, and it was the site of quite a battle. It's behind me. You see all those trees that are knocked aside and torn roots?
There is a surprisingly devastated path from where he came from.
It's that direction. There's a lot of guys there with skulls on their faces and...
And they're headed this way?
They should be, but I think I scared them away with just running, which is something I've never done before. Anyway, I started running and there was this noise and I screamed like a angry scream and they just stopped. They just stopped running after me, so that's new. I have to write that down.
But you can't write.
Damn it.
I'll write for you.
Excellent.
We should probably fan out. If they're coming, they might be coming this way after all, despite Dean's...
Be at ease. Your scales, they're tense and hard. Come. Come to Dean.
I'm good. I get real close to Balin. We're good.
Well, you know, that's quite a choice to make. I understand that he's, you know, he has his qualities. You know, he lets people die. He lets tons of people die. And he, like, runs off.
What are you on about, Dean?
I'm just saying that, you know, there's a tough dude right here with huge muscles. And I know how to coil and uncoil.
Oh, what about your beloved Relatrix?
I have forgotten her.
Well,
only thoughts of you occupy my mind.
Oh.
While I am touched by this, whatever it is, I would like to note that they could still be on their way. Maybe we should regroup at the temple and decide of our plan of attack. Dean, these fiends, they need destroying, yes?
Of course. But I need a weapon, Balin.
There are plenty of weapons back at the temple.
The temple that we just left with a dark god in the basement.
He's trapped.
Well, yes, that's true. There were lots of weapons there. That's. Let us make haste.
Hey, Jamala.
Yes, buddy.
You know that there's always room on the war machine for a spellcaster. Since we don't have Jennifer with us, we could complete the war machine.
Dean lowers his elbow to the dirt and urges Jamala forward.
Well, you know, gentlemen, in this dense jungle here, perhaps it's obviously a good vantage point. If I need to get in on the war machine, I can merely flip up onto you and cast spells from your broad orcish shoulders.
You just look right here. You see this little spot here?
But let us go. We're going now.
Where you could go.
I could go there.
And I'm patting Dean's shoulder.
Yeah.
Empty spot.
It's nice and warm. Mm.
Oh boy. Walking past Lefty. Oh, give me strength.
Girl, you hit the jackpot.
I don't know. Are we supposed to share this? I don't want Dean. He's kind of smelly.
It's always good to have someone who wants you.
I'm just so worried about being desperate.
You should reciprocate. I'm just saying there could be advantages.
We'll see if we live to explore these advantages.
Okay, back at the temple, you guys have regrouped. Dean, what kind of a weapon do you want?
Oh, you're rolling for my equips? Come on, give me a great sword. Not a fine sword or a medium sword or long. I want great. Great sword.
Yeah,
let me tell you, when you're looking for weapons, he's not very kind.
Well, here's the thing.
He gave me a stick.
I just rolled a 9 on a percentile dice with a 25% chance to find exactly what he wanted and a 35% chance to roll kind of what he wanted and like under 50, maybe he'll find this useful.
Okay.
So you find a great sword.
Son of a bitch!
Yes! Dude, the war machine is almost complete. Once we sequester Jamala for this shoulder, we will be an unstoppable killing machine.
However, the great sword is part of a statue. So
well,
it's
fine.
Still got one hand of a statue. It's a big sword, stone sword, and it's got one of the statue's hands still on the handle of it.
All right. Is it on the... Like towards the hilt or towards the pommel?
It's actually like on the pommel, like as if the sword was pointing down.
Then. Okay.
And he had his hand over top of it, like resting on the top of the pommel. So when you're holding it in two hands, the stone hand is cupping the bottom of your offhand, your left hand.
Barty, now I can cut someone and punch them also.
Well, the stone sword isn't going to cut, but it will crush.
Barty, now I can smash someone and punch them also.
Wow, that's amazing.
Woo!
And all I've got to show for it is some daggers and a short sword.
Well, while we run back to where the natives have gathered in fear of me, you can tell me all about your knives and how you use them deftly.
mad. Yeah, no, I will. I'd be happy to. You know, I love, you know, talking about my daggers and throwing them.
We know, Marty.
What's your favorite dagger story? Those are like little great swords that you can put out at a table, right, for dwarves to eat with.
Unless you stab one of them with your, you know, they offend you, and then you throw a throwing knife into the dwarf.
I've seen you do that. I've definitely seen you stab a dwarf in the face.
You know, but if you're looking for stuff, I'm glad that you found a great sword, you know, considering I've looked for stuff, and the only thing I found is a short sword.
Oh, don't be bitter. Come on. You can throw this. Here,
I don't think you can throw my sword. I don't think you can lift the sword that he has. Barty.
Here, we'll pretend. Barty, throw your arm out, and I'll throw the sword. It'll be like you did it.
All right, here we go. One, right, two,
ready?
Three. Throwing great sword!
Yeah, this is a good throw. This is, you're pretty good. I think you should take up the sword one day. You want me to teach you?
I know how to use the short sword, but I don't know how to use the short sword.
Sciences, okay? It's a little different.
You can teach me one day, but let's continue, because all this talking, I'm sure that the natives are here almost.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry, I get lost. Let's go.
I've been keeping an eye out. Is there anything going on?
Not that you can see. I mean, you can see down in the jungle. Now, the dawn is breaking, but you still don't see anything moving down in the jungle, but that's... There's a lot of cover down there. An entire army could probably move through that jungle and you'd never see them.
An entire army could move through that jungle and we'd never see them.
So, Dean, you saw their where they live, whatever that might be.
Yes.
How might we go attacking them and destroying them?
Balin, I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to need a lot of me and some of you. Can you prepare any fire, perhaps? These are tribal people. They revere fire, but they also fear it.
Yeah, Jamala, why don't you use your light to see if there's... They know we're here. Why don't you light up the forest? Light up the night!
Buddy, I mean, they didn't know we were here because we took those two out on the path. They didn't seem the least bit concerned. Does this temple have any fortifications or battlements or...
Imagine, like, a Mayan temple. It looks like that.
Okie dokie.
They will assault us with walls of flesh, not the moats of castles.
I'm going to confer with Lefty. I don't know. I'm not convinced that, you know, maybe they would let, you know, see a monster such as Dean and just let him run off. I mean, he didn't cut away with anything. He just ran off. So.
It makes me think that they didn't want him to begin with.
Let's just slow down with that talk. There was this hot chick with like a skull fetish. And she had a fetish for the orc, if you take my drift. And there was some sort of squabble she had with her abusive stepdad king, I don't know. And I was tied up. Did I mention that she tied me up?
I mean, that's always the first thing I do when I like somebody.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
You almost come from strange lands with strange customs.
Phelan, you don't even understand what's going on, especially with that right there next to you. But I digress. I believe they let me flee because there was some sort of altercation between, I assume, a priestess and a king.
It matters not. They all must die. If we're to make sure that this demon that they have in this temple is never to rise again, we must not. We cannot take any chances. I vote so we attack them now.
I'm okay with that.
Wait a minute.
I love to swing swords.
So wait a minute. At first it was, hey, let's go to the village. And then it's like, oh, let's go to the temple. Now let's go back to the village again.
Dean has a weapon. We have a plan. Fire and Dean.
Yeah.
All right. I'm okay with that.
And let's as Dean is slaughtering the minions of evil, I will destroy their king and this witch.
Balin, I'm going to slow you down right there. I'll take care of that. And you slaughter all the heathens or whatever you do with the whole cross and all that. Okay?
But don't you think my faith would better protect me against the witch?
No, because, I mean, just from what you've demonstrated, I don't think you're equipped to deal with that sort of quote-unquote evil, okay?
I helped vanquish the demon that lay here.
Well, there are lots of demons in this world, and there's a Dean demon, and there's a Balin, okay? And you're like a lesser demon. And you deal with the lesser demons, and I'll deal with the greater demons.
Is this because you're attracted to the witch?
What? Are you slow? Did I not make that clear? We had
But what? I thought you were attracted to Jamala.
Well, I mean, come on. Look at me. There's so much to go around.
All right, so I think we have a conflict of interest here. Balin, you're on Witchy Poo, and Dean, you're with us.
I don't think that Balin should be off on his own. He's interested in just slaughtering the entire inhabitants of the island, and it's been very clear to us that all of the inhabitants are not necessarily ones who are evil.
And you've always been known for thinking before you attack, Barty.
Hey, listen, I only take out the ones who have skulls or who are a potential threat. Chuck was never a potential threat, all right?
Well, why don't you go with Balin then?
I just have a better sense of danger. You guys are the ones who are like, oh, let's talk to the person and find out what's going to happen. No, I always know when something's going to go wrong.
Like when it's a little old lady in a cloak who you scare half to death?
Hey, she's fine. She turned out okay.
And we're lucky we did too.
Hey, nothing that little therapy isn't gonna fix. She led us to where we were supposed to go. Balin, you did make a promise. You swore.
I did swear.
On your honor.
On my honor that we would only destroy the evil ones. And now that we know that they're all evil, tell me about this war machine.
Dean, the war machine, and Barty, his trusted knife-throwing, death-dealing small man of small of stature but huge of damage. And this empty spot here, which screams for Jamala to sit upon it like a throne for a goddess. That is the war machine. And the war machine does not attack indiscriminately. It only punishes those who deserve death.
Like the ones that killed Steve?
Listen, I'm over Steve, okay? You need to get over Steve too. And you need to understand that before we fight these people, we must decipher who they are before slaughtering them without cause.
So what do you propose? That we parlay with them? They'll kill us on sight.
Of course, and no, they would not.
Gentlemen, this is very simple. If they have a skull on their face, they are the embodiment of evil. And they worship the awful, wretched demigod that lies in this coffin. And if they do not have a skull, then it's up for debate. And so, you know, we those were the low priority ones. We'll worry about those later.
So we wait for the skull people to come? I don't think they'll come alone.
No.
Sorry.
At this point, I mean, it's a straight shot from here to there, right? We know where they are, so they're either coming this way or they're not. And they will sooner or later, so...
Or they're already here like they were last time.
We have been talking for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, Jamala, light up the night!
Light up the night!
I have no interest in letting them know where I am.
I'm with Jamala on that one.
I agree, that is technically...
Questionable.
Ill-advised, yes.
We will not take out their entire village and their priestess and their king by waiting here for their forces to come. We'll only give them more time to flee or better establish defenses. Now that Dean is equipped, we must rise out and strike them and do our damnedest to be stealthy and prepared should we face any forces on our way there.
I don't know if you've looked at this group, but look at Dean... And look at me, and that doesn't scream stealthy.
Listen, Balin, you must learn of tactics.
I know of tactics.
Subterfuge.
If we attack from the west, and you in this war machine attack from the south, then your distraction could allow me the time to get to the king and the witch and destroy them.
You aren't going to leave our sight. We're all going together.
Lefty and I walk outside.
I believe that you work for me, Steve.
But I am your tactician.
No, I'm the tactician. I'm the decider, and I think I have decided that we should attack.
I hop off of Dean and walk out with Jamala.
Yeah, meanwhile, Lefty and Jamala are outside.
Yeah, I follow. Okay, Balin. Okay, you do that. Okay, bye.
Balin looks around the room. What just happened?
Okay, bye.
Did I win?
Maybe your god can be your friend.
Well, when Lefty and I were outside, we were just sort of, you know, standing, not in the open per se, but chatting about how maybe we should just leave. Maybe we should just go back on the boat.
I don't know. We've got this far. I mean, what are we going to do once we get on the boat? Go find something else that wants to kill us? May as well kill this one first.
I think that you're in a dark place right now. we had a good thing going. Living in a hotel, we were getting pedicures like every other day, and...
We need a pedicure so bad, Jamala.
We're just not made for this adventuring anymore.
I'm okay with the stabby. It's the searchy and the weighty and the that I'm not so into.
Yeah, it's not fun.
You and I are a little more stealthy than all these oafs. Why don't we sneak in between your magic and my stabby?
Oh, that sounds like if they see us, they'll just kill us, and there's a whole village of them.
Okay, Balin. All right, I'll see you later. Okay.
Oh, hey, ladies. How you doing? Hey, Bart. Sorry about that. Look, that guy's a dick, and I needed money. Okay, and I'm sorry. Let's go take care of this and, like, just have fun like we used to. Yeah. I miss this a lot.
Yeah, Uppy. I'm just
gonna say that.
Uppy.
Get up. Hey, come on up. You know you can get up here. Look, on the back. You see those little, you see the belt with the chains on it? That's for you to step in.
Oh,
yeah.
I hop right back into the spot.
All right. Come on, guys, let's go.
I say to Lefty, he is the opposite size, but this does feel a little familiar in a weird way.
Come on, Jamala.
Come on. Uppity, up, Jamala, up.
It'll be an act of desperation, Dean, I assure you.
Hey, don't worry. Look at this. Look, I cleaned it off. And I put a cloth there, and you don't even have to touch me, so just get on.
All aboard, Jamala.
Balin, we're going to we're going to storm the village, I guess. Come on, you'll love it. And Balin, I want to be clear about this. I'm going to put all my cards on the table. If you don't turn out to be a really rotten person, fully expect sex after this, let's just spit it out there. We're going to do it, all right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm
Balin, that's going to be like a first for you, isn't it?
Wait, is he a virgin?
I'm celibate.
I didn't know that you didn't know that.
It's
that
part
was the
of
first thing he
I
said
took.
To me when he hired me. He's like, my name's Balin. I've never been laid. Let's go kill stuff.
You did not.
You totally did. I got you drunk for the first time. You opened up like a cloud full of rain, and you cried and talked about your dad.
Oh, never mind. I storm off into the darkness towards the village.
Why is it gotta be tough? Come on, Jamala! I'm
gonna comfort her.
Jamala, come on, light up the night! There's a village that this darkness can't hide! Come on, we can still make it right! We can bring back the light! Let's do it!
Okay, and hand over the mouth. Let's go. Whoosh!
So how do you guys plan to approach this now?
We're just all going.
You're just going charging towards.
In. Yeah.
We're walking along. Dean, did this village have walls?
No. There's some small structures hither and thither, but no walls.
Did it have like buildings that could be set on fire?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And everything burns, I found out.
Oh yes, it does. It's an old favorite of mine.
Yeah, you ready to let off some steam?
You could say that, Dean.
Then let's do this.
Yeah, come on, complete the war machine, Jamala.
War machine.
As you guys are chanting this down through the path, you come to two of the village warriors. They don't have their faces painted, but they see you. They see Dean. They look shocked. Then they see Balin, and they turn and just run back towards the village.
Dean's not smart, but did they run away from Dean or from Balin?
From the group.
Well, it looks like they know that we're coming. Hey, Jamala, this works out because anyone who...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Who's not evil is probably going to go hide. And anyone who is going to wait and get owned.
I sort of spin around on my heels. Chuck, are you around? Chuck of the forest, of the jungle. No? Okay, then. We're going to start killing people indiscriminately, Chuck. So if you're going to speak up, now's the time. All right, here we go.
Who's Chuck?
Chuck's one of the villagers. He helped Jamal. Jamal is about to die. See, here's the problem, Dean, is we don't have a healer. And, because, you know, VMAC, the Goliath, remember him?
Yeah, he's not here, is he? He's like a battery for health.
Yeah, and we don't have that, so we're kind of in trouble, especially the woman.
Oh, you know what you do? You take, look, all right, Dean scoops up a handful of dirt. You see how I got stabbed by a spear earlier? Watch this. And I rub the dirt into the wound. Ah, kind of stings a little, but you know what? It feels good, and then you get better. So let's go.
Yeah, that's what Chuck did to Jamala. Some dirt.
That's that dirt healing. That's what my dad did.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that your orc dad or your human dad? Do you have a human dad or a human...
All right, Barty, here's a distinction I have to make clear to you, all right? Now, half-orc blood does not necessarily mean that my direct parentage came from human and orc pairing. Now that you understand that, and you understand that I came from a race of two half-orcs, let us continue.
Sorry.
Since we know we're on our way and we need to decide what we're doing soon.
I'm following the warpath right there that Jamala just started.
I support my original plan. My original plan was sound.
Yeah, I didn't mean to marginalize an entire people, Dean. Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's just, it's out there, all right? Just open your eyes.
All right, here I am. War Machine. Yeah,
War
high five.
Machine. War Machine.
Hey, let's go to the left.
All right, we go to the left. That is our strat. Locked in. Left movement. Dean strafes left-wise, circling the village in great leaps.
Sitting up by Jamala with my hand on my sword, looking around all paranoid-like.
I sigh and kiss Lefty on the cheek and say, if I die, bury me under a pile of gold. And I get up on top of the war machine. And I kick my heels into him and I say, let's burn this mother down.
Yeah, war machine!
Form the war machine. Final form. Jamala, Barty, Dean.
Balin looks over at Lefty and after he kind of looks at the startling cacophony that is War Machine.
Woo-hoo, War Machine!
I could use your help taking down the king and the witch.
I'm good at taking things down.
If we don't take it down first.
Oh, it's like that, is it? The game is on. Come to noble deeds, away!
Jamala, that dude is different. I'm just going to say that. That's the nicest thing I can say.
That's fine, Dean. I have no interest in seducing a celibate. He won't even be any good.
Yeah, some of my favorites have always been first-timers, if you know what I'm saying.
You are a lecherous pervert, Barty Gleeman.
Hey, what are you talking about? You know, they love it. You'll love it. Plus, if he doesn't know what it's supposed to be like, then he won't know that it's different with the Dragonborn.
All right, well, okay. Wrong thing to say, Bart. Let's go.
Well, she's got a sideways vagina.
We have been galloping along, yes.
Yes.
Thank the goddess. This is the worst decision I've ever made.
Sorry if it's a little bumpy up there. You know, I'm just don't know my own strength sometimes. Ugh.
Now, Jamala, if you really want to do what's supposed to be right for the war machine, you should be braiding Dean's hair.
Yes, give me a war braid.
A braid of light.
And you guys come up to the village. Well, you guys can see the village. The first set of, you can see one of the huts from where you're at.
Jamala, light it up.
Avenging light.
Or you breathe fire.
How far do I breathe fire, though? I mean, I know I breathe fire. I like breathing fire, but...
I take you into range of whatever your range is.
I've never really seen it as a projectile. Is that something I can do?
It's like a... almost like a shotgun blast of flame.
Well, but as long as it doesn't set Dean's hair on fire.
No.
Yeah, that's fine, too. I don't really care.
Boop, 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 boop. Fire breath.
Dean runs heroically towards the tent.
A 4 attack.
Okay, roll the effect.
6.
Okay. You light the base of the house on fire. At this point, Balin comes up to Dean. Dean, where was this throne? Where was this king?
Do not address me as Dean. I am War Machine. It was thrown. The throne is that way, over there.
Thank you, War Machine.
That's right.
Come, Warrior Woman. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
You leave that witch alone.
Okay, so Balin and Lefty are circling around the village. Now that you guys have a distraction, the fire is quickly going up the side of the hut. What are you guys doing while it's burning?
Dean's posing mightily and looking for the next target.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, well, in order to do that, you'd have to kind of walk around to the front of the hut.
Oh, of course. I'm left strafing the entire time.
Okay. So you left strafe around the hut, and you see a bunch of people running up to the hut, and then they see you, and several of them turn around and run back. The others that have weapons start running in your direction. Now what?
Oh, Bart, should I run away and see if it makes them run away, or should we fight?
Fight! Throwing dagger!
Rah! Throwing dagger and a bigger throwing dagger!
And
no, don't throw yours! I'll keep it.
All right. Avenging light!
All right, so everybody roll your attack test.
Okay, my attack roll total is 15.
17.
Okay.
I got a 12.
So everybody hits, roll damage or effect. Okay.
17, again.
Okay. Yep.
8.
Okay.
I got 14 damage.
You guys are charging forward. One of them that's closing in, Dean crushes with a side swipe of his sword.
Whack!
You hear bones breaking in several places at once, and then when he hit flies off and hits and lands into another one, you hear more bones breaking.
Sleep forever, you fool! the War Machine.
The dagger that comes from Barty goes right through the eye of one of the other attackers as he turns around after seeing what Dean just did. He looks forward. And then that dagger goes right into his eye. He just falls like somebody, you know, just turned his legs into noodles. He just collapses down.
Aha! War Machine!
And
I attribute my poor rolls to it being terrifying up here.
It's still not a problem because you still killed one too. So
hooray!
4 people just died in one charge.
Yeah, War Machine! Unbeatable!
It's true. We have no weakness at all.
But
Kamala, you should bless us with hope.
But, meanwhile, even though you guys are charging, not everybody's charging right at you. A lot of them are circling around you, trying to box.
Left strafing.
And you're basically in this ring of people with spears.
War Machine, omnidirectional formation. I switch Bart behind, I switch his legs behind my back. Now foes can come from all sides and face death.
Now might be a good time to dust off an old favorite that I've used very seldom since I'm up here in a defensive kind of position. I'd like to use the invocation of ice and fire.
Okay, but before that, we're going to go ahead and cut over to Lefty and Balin. Balin's kind of leading the way. His shield is up in front of him. His sword is to his right. He's crouching down, but he's not being very quiet, and he's... You can hear the battle has already started off to your left.
War Machine!
Suddenly, Balin stops and he turns to you and he points off into the distance with his sword, where you can see this girl is walking down the stairs. She's like a teenager, maybe 16, 17 years old, and 2 guards are starting to follow her. So that must be the staircase that he was talking about, like the throne, the dais that this guy must have been sitting on. So you can see, you know, her. I guess you assume that she must be walking towards the battle. So, and behind her is Chuck. He's walking with her, and he looks a little nervous. He's wringing his hands, and they're probably about, you know, 100, 150 feet away from you guys. So Balin looks to you. I can attack those warriors and the witch, or I can go after the king.
If the witch has more power, I can go after the king. I can't do anything with magic, but I can cut a head off real good.
Well then, let's go. Noble deeds await.
That was easy.
Basically, he just stands upright. He's not trying to crouch or hide anymore. There's not really a tactical way of approaching this, and without being like a ninja, he just lifts his shield and starts walking towards them. And are you following? Or
I think I watch. I hang back and watch for a second to see how many people turn, what the reaction is. Because if they get all around him, I want to be able to sneak up on them and get some defense in.
So as he's walking forward, he starts to pick up his pace. Chuck turns, happens to look at that moment in time, and he sees Balin coming, and he just shouts, "No, no, stop!" And that's when Balin starts at a full run, lifts his sword out. Light bright, turn on the colors of the magic lights! And he sticks his sword, or he slices his sword forward as if he's attacking something directly in front of him. Rainbows shoot out of the sword. 23.
That's one of the dumbest, most ridiculous things that's ever happened to us.
Guys, I think we caused some sort of a miracle or a rainbow over there from our awesomeness.
Okay, so 16 was his effect. This is ridiculous. Okay, the witch turns at the last second and throws up this black shield of darkness, but the rainbow fires right through it, and there's almost like a thunderclap noise right where those two things connected. The shield is destroyed, and he's still charging forward. One of the guards is completely gone. He's just a pile of slush on the ground. The other one is holding a mutilated arm, or where his arm used to be, as he's screaming in pain, and Chuck's trying to help him because he's freaking out. And the witch is just standing there, like her mouth hanging open, backing up, terrified as he continues to keep charging.
Do they have skull faces?
One of the guards did. He's now a pile of goo.
The witch does not have a skull face?
No.
Son of a bitch!
Okay, so Lefty, what are you doing?
Where is the king in proportion to all this mess?
He's up on his throne. There's still two other guards by him, but he stands up pointing and commanding, so it looks like he's sending the guards down the stairs.
Okay, so I use the wake that is created by Balin's existence to, like, kind of follow in like a lawyer behind an ambulance. How many are guards are charging at me? Like, am I foolish to get too far away from Balin?
No, there's only two coming down the stairs, and then Balin's really his only challenge, aside from those two guards coming from the king, is the witch herself and Chuck.
And then is it worthwhile for me to change my mind and see how the witch seems discombobulated and try to, like, cut off her arm or something?
It would take another round at least for you to get to close that distance.
Okay. How long will it take me to get to the king and his guards?
You can be on his guards right now, or you can push past them to the king and get to the king in the next round.
Let me try to push past them and go for the king.
Okay.
You don't see or sense that there's like a Rockette style 2x2 of more guards coming from behind these two?
No, there's no other guards up there. The king has just left himself undefended to protect the girl.
Excellent. That's my favorite.
As the guards run down, they're so focused on the carnage in front of them that they don't even notice that you just ran past them on their right. They kind of passed as you were running up the stairs. Balin, on the other hand, did see the guards coming and manages to attempt to block one of their charges, and he blocks with a 12. So he manages to get his shield up in time to block one of them. He actually barely misses blocking with his shield on the second one and does take damage. So he gets jabbed right into the armor, and the sword goes right through, or the spear cuts right into his armor and goes about 3 or 4 inches deep into his stomach, and he clutches that for a moment, but now it's your move.
So I'm close enough to the king to hurt him, yeah?
Yes.
I'm going to do that. 11!
That's okay. You beat his 6. So he's actually almost crawling up his chair to get a, as you, you know, he's caught completely off guard by you charging up the stairs. He quails in fear and tries to climb up that chair as you drive your sword straight into him and roll damage.
I got the thing where it's 10, so it's 15 damage.
Okay. You drive the sword straight into his chest, through his chest, into the chair, and draw it right back out. He doesn't even get a chance to make a sound. You just crushed his heart with one strong attack with a sword. He falls down. Chuck screams something in his native tongue. You don't understand what he's saying, but he's clearly calling for the king who you've just killed. At
does
that
the king
moment
have a skull on his face? King, does the king have a skull on his face?
No.
God damn it!
I guess I should have asked that.
It really wouldn't have mattered. You guys are attacking a village. Every single person there is going to fight to protect that village, regardless if they have... You guys would dead by default if you don't kill everybody here. And Balin, he takes his sword and he snaps the spear off at the hilt and then takes the moment... You know, basically, he's swinging down. He takes the handle and jabs that up into the attacker, into the bottom of his mouth. The pommel of his weapon has a long sort of spike at the end of it, and he's driven that up into the part, the soft part underneath your jaw, so that it goes right up inside of his face and drops him like a sack of potatoes. Back to War Machine.
All right, what do I gotta roll to make this invocation of ice and fire happen?
Roll your spellcasting.
That a 7 plus 3, 10.
Okay, and where are you targeting this?
Oh, sorry, 12. If this is a storm that I'm conjuring, and we're the eye of the storm, could I not perhaps make it happen in 360 degrees?
You could, and if you failed, you would be stuck inside of it.
Let's go nuts.
You're going to try it?
Woo!
Yeah!
Okay. All right, so roll it. I want to make you re-roll. I'm not going to let you make that decision on your 12.
Ah.
That's too easy. 9?
Yes, 9.
Okay, so you're now off by... 6 feet. 1, 2, 3, 4. So if the throne is 12 o'clock, you're 6 feet off. Now, you just have to make sure your effect is higher than 6.
Okay. What do I roll for that?
Your wisdom plus your spells level, which I think is 3.
9.
Oh,
plus,
okay.
Plus 3. So,
12.
12.
Okay. That's exactly what you needed. Because it would actually have to be a 6 foot... Okay, so it's 6 feet off. The center of the storm is at like 7 o'clock. So it goes 12 feet out from you in this ring. So you guys are just inside of the ring. And everything to the sort of 7 to 6 o'clock range just got fried. So this ring of fire and ice just starts swirling around you guys. Dean and Barty can't see anything ahead of them. Actually, you guys can't see anything around you. It's just a wall of fire and ice. It's just swirling around. And as it falls down, it almost settles like the rain just stops and all the remaining water just kind of hits the ground. And you see this ring of scorched earth and this mound of ashen, soggy ashen bodies. from
all
this, like,
who
this
face the war machine are burnt to cinders.
This whole quarter circle, he just like annihilated like 8 guys in one round. So
well done, Jamala.
Ooh, that's good. Bad that worked. Huh?
At this point, you guys hear Chuck, you know, calling out, and and you see Lefty. She's up at the. Up pulling her sword out from the king and the witch. There's several guys warriors between you guys and the witch, and she's backing up from Dean, who's battling against 2 other guards, and she has just seen what Jamala has done, and so she just starts muttering something. You can tell she's muttering, you can hear it because her voice starts to pick up this volume. It starts real low and you're like, what's that noise? And then it grows and it grows. And her voice changes from this girl's voice to this really dark, deep, almost demonic voice. And
oh no.
Even though the sun has been rising, it now gets really dark in the whole area.
What a
Dean.
What, am I can't see anything. What's going on?
Steady, Dean. Full speed ahead.
Whoa, machine running blind through the darkness.
Barty, what are you doing?
I'm still on War Machine.
Okay.
Dagger ready. As soon as I get in range, I'm tossing it.
Lefty, what are you doing?
Well, now that I've killed the king, I guess I turn around and I see the witch doing demonic-y things, and her back's to me, right?
Yes, but she right now she's about probably 200 feet away from you. She's halfway between you and War Machine.
Perfect. Well, she doesn't see me coming, and I have a big sword. I want to do that.
Okay.
You gonna get her from behind?
Yeah.
Halfway between you and them is Balin, but he doesn't seem to need too much help there. And Chuck, who's on his knees in front of the throne, but he's obviously not going to be much of a challenge. So you've got two rounds. So I'm going to go through to Balin, who is got to deal with an attack attacking him. Then I will go to Barty. Dean, you're just running through.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The war machine must continue.
Wait, Dean.
What? What is it? Who said
it worked,
that?
It worked before. Throw me at the witch.
Oh, indeed. I have waited for this. Okay, Dean flexing his muscles that seem too large for any living man to have.
It's not your turn yet, Dean. Relax.
Okay.
Settle down.
Coiling my spring.
Cold shower.
Yeah.
All right. Balin is rolling a really crappy defense. Ah, he took another hit. So this time he takes another spear into his chest, just below to the right of his heart. But this guy is not so stupid that he leaves the spear intact, and he pulls it back out again. And as he does this, he's pulling it back out and pulling and spinning so that the dull end of his spear will try to catch him off guard, because he is actually on his knees from that attack. This might be the end of Balin. And that final attack comes crashing down on his head, knocks him down to the ground, and he's let go of his sword. He's just kind of down on the ground. Lefty has already blown past him during this attack. Jamala, what are you doing?
Have I seen Balin go down from...
No, there's people in the way.
Hmm. And how intense is this darkness that's fallen?
It's like the sky has just turned to night at this point. And her head is snapped backwards, and she's actually like shouting out up to the sky. And it looks like it's swirling above her.
How close are we to her?
You guys are about, I don't know, 75 feet at this point.
I would like to preemptively charge up a Avenging Light. Well, a Sunstrike, actually. A Sunstrike, a big one.
Okay.
When we get closer, I will release it. So I've got my I'm a top Dean. I've got my staff poised with the spiky end out, and I'm charging a blast because this woman is clearly filled with evil dark energy, and I must smite her. Perhaps Balin and I will together our energies will smite her, even though there's nothing between us, obviously. But she's going down, you know.
Hey, Jamala, try to not harm the vessel if possible. That's all I'd say. That's all. Come on.
Dean, roll your throwing attack.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Heroically taut muscles unleash immense force as I launch Barty through the air.
Okay, and roll it.
Okay.
It's the old gleaming torpedo.
I got a 12.
A natural 12, re-roll it.
It's not a natural 12, it's a total 12.
Oh, okay, total 12. Okay, you get launched, Barty, but you're...
Wait a minute, I got my short sword, like, in front of me, so it's like a torpedo of death.
Yeah, and he kicked off of my feet, or of my hand. He was, okay. he was also coiled. It was like two coiled
okay,
springs.
Okay, roll acrobatics.
Play, like, concert.
Roll. Oh, yeah, acrobatics.
Yes, acrobatics to death, Barty.
I'm gonna acrobatics into her face. That would be a 16 acrobatics, son of a bitch.
Jesus, man. I thought you guys were really going to miss. Dean's roll was a miss.
What?
But just barely. And Barty has effectively felt that this was not going on course and adjusted his push off to account for that and is now speeding towards her. Dean, roll strength.
Just 9. That's all I got then.
Barty, roll attack.
A 15 attack.
Okay, roll damage.
Short sword! 12.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a 21 all told. Okay, so this is what shakes loose here. Barty gets launched up into the air over top of the guards, and he's coming down like a speeding missile. The girl is looking straight up at the sky, calling out, and within like a foot of Barty getting on target, she just doesn't even look at him. She just sticks out her hand to stop him. But the sword goes right through her hand, up her arm, and at her elbow. It forces it back down towards her body.
Wow.
Where she just kind of holds him there for a second, looks at him, and just growls, "Not this time," and pushes him back.
Whoa!
Did your penis shrink just that, Barty?
A little bit. Just a little.
He hits the ground.
I'm actually very rigid. I don't even know.
How close am I to her when this happens?
You're actually getting real close to an attack. So, Barty, you get actually thrown back. Sword is still in her arm. And you land actually on top of one of the guards. And you're laying down on top of him. You take 2 points of damage from the fall, but that's it.
Well, is there any way for me to, like, acrobatics into the guy to kick him in the face?
Yeah, roll wisdom first to see if you can shake loose the, oh my god, what the fuck just happened, part of your brain. And let's see if you can think clearly enough to do that.
I rolled a 6.
No.
Ah.
No, you're freaking out a little bit inside.
All right, well, I just fall on the dude, and I want to stick him. I'm going to stick him as soon as I can with the dagger.
All right. Barty, you lose 2 sanity points.
Okay, Lefty, you're close enough to make your attack.
All right, I use the momentum of my running.
That's already, I've already got that.
So that even with her head back, I'm not in her peripheral view. Plus, mm-hmm. I think she's probably a little Barty distracted, hopefully. And I go for her, like, liver.
Okay.
From behind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe your spleen. I don't know.
Okay, roll attack.
10. And then damage is also 10.
Okay, and then add another 10. So you drive your sword straight into her liver and pull it out. And then she turns and looks at you.
I didn't need that anymore.
And throws her hand out at you. She doesn't even touch you. She just kind of pushes you with her mind.
I still have my sword, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She's got a sword in her arm, though.
Roll strength.
I got a 5.
Okay. Basically, what happens is you feel like this force push you, but it doesn't knock you down. You actually kind of dig your heels in as if you're trying to stop it, and you just slide across the ground until you dig enough big enough trench with your foot that it stops
like
you from moving back.
I imagine that this is the sound I make when it happens. Whoa!
Have I seen anything that's happened there?
Yes, you just saw both of that.
Oh boy. How far away is War Machine?
You're within striking range. Actually, and the guards have parted like the sea once this happened. They're giving her as much room as they're giving you guys.
I'm going to put everything I have into this because it seems pretty apparent to me that we're fighting another demon of darkness, and there's about one thing that's going to make it go away. So, Avenging Light of the highest order.
Blinded by the light.
Wrapped up like a douche.
It's deuce. It's deuce, like 2. Like me and you, Barty. We're revved up like a deuce.
15.
Like all right, a poop?
Roll damage.
Like a poo-poo.
Second one time, I don't want them to roll 15.
See, a 2 plus 3, 5, plus 3, 8.
8?
8 effect.
Okay. You shoot your Avenging Light, and it hits her dead in the chest. And this seems to have stopped the summoning of the darkness. And she kind of backs up a couple steps from the hit and glares at you like she remembers you. Oh, it's you, you bitch. You know, that sort of look on her face. But she puts her hand up to the chest and this looks like it hurt her. Like the look on her face is like that's that sucked. Now everybody can declare another action.
Dean moves Jamala closer to this foe, with his weapon bracing in front of the two of them should she retort in some demonic way.
Okay.
You should cleave her in two, in twain.
In twain I shall cleft her face.
So there's no more tribesmen between us and her.
No, they're freaking out.
I say to Dean, protect me and I will take her down.
Very well, I have seen that she must die, unfortunate as it may be.
She's not really
the passion
attractive.
We could have shared.
She's not real attractive looking right now. She's missing a liver.
Hey, buddy, all right? Beauty is in the eye of the D&D copyrighted creature.
She also has a sword sticking out of her elbow.
Yes.
She didn't need that anymore either.
Like amputees. And can I see that Balin is down?
Yes, that's not really a priority, though.
No. Hopefully someone will get to him, see how that situation's going. I will do another Avenging Light.
Right. Barty.
Barty's gonna stab the dude he's on top of.
Okay.
With his dagger.
He's Dean?
Gonna stick him.
I mean, this woman is flesh and she's been wounded, but this great sword could end her very easily, and I will swing it in a great strike straight down at her.
Okay. And Lefty, the only person who has actually taken it full in the face from her and walked away smiling.
What I think I want to do is go over to, what's his name, Balin?
Mm-hmm.
But before I start moving, I just turn my head toward the throne. What do I see?
He's still dead up there. That hasn't changed.
Well, what about the little dude? What was his name, George?
Chuck.
He hasn't moved either.
All right, so then I just continue on toward Balin since things don't seem to be... you know, reanimating over by the throne.
Okay.
What's the situation with Balin?
He's unconscious. He's very pale, and he's losing a lot of blood.
Okay, so I'm going to run over there, because the dudes aren't trying to attack us. They're all making room, right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, several of them have already fled.
Okay. I'm going to go over there and put some dirt on it.
Yeah!
Should have put some dirt on it.
All right. Okay.
It's the most popular brand of bandage in Dorytodonia.
Dean, you're up.
I got my roll ready. Right. I leap up in the air and swing down in a great downward smash at her face. I roll a total of 19.
Okay, roll damage.
Okay, that is a 17.
You come crashing down with your sword. She just looks up at it, and suddenly it's like the sword is cutting through something. You don't see anything. It's like a shell around her. You're annoyingly persistent, and you keep pulling that sword down, and it actually...
That's right.
Just, you draw a line down the center of her face very slowly. She doesn't move. She just glares at you while this sword just moves down there. It takes about two and a half seconds to finally cut all the way down, and you leave a nice, like, quarter-inch deep cut in this thing, and it's just bleeding. Blood is dripping down off her chin like just in like a river.
Wow.
And then as it comes, the sword swing comes all the way down, it finally feels like it's broken free.
Well, I did the best that I could, Jamala. It's up to you now.
Actually, I think Barty goes before Jamala.
So, it's up to you, Barty. And then Jamala.
Barty's not attacking.
Yeah, I'm sticking the dude I'm on top of.
Yeah.
It's up to you, Jamala, after Barty sticks the dude he's on top of.
Go ahead, Barty. You can just roll damage, actually. There's no way you could miss this.
I rolled a 17.
So Barty basically pushes off, spins around, cuts the guy's throat as he stands up and heroically poses.
Aha!
And the guy didn't even have enough time to put his hand up to his throat. He's just dead.
Lice and dice!
Jamala.
All right, time for an Avenging Light, provided the Dean's not in the way.
I'm telling you,
he is, but... in this kind of situation, what do you want to wait for him?
No, let's just go for it.
Avenge me!
A 12 plus 8, 20 plus 22.
Okay. Roll damage.
My effects have been awful today. 5 plus 3, 8. 8 plus 2 is 10.
You actually focus that entire attack right within like the 5-foot radius that you need. And it cuts through that swirl that was of darkness that was happening above and just slams down into her. And she buckles down to her knees, screaming in pain that she's on fire. But there's no visible signs of anything going wrong. But it's enough. The clouds now have, even after your spell just, you know, collapses down on top of her, the sun is out. And it's just enough for her to lose that ability to do anything. This demon thrives on darkness, and you've taken that away. It's kind of meta knowledge, but basically, she summoned the darkness so that the demon could possess her so she could fight and stop you guys. You, by breaking that cloud open, have let the light back in. The demon has no power. It's receding into this broken body that has been cut and diced, and basically it's missing its liver. It's toast. It can't go anywhere. It can't do anything except die inside this body now, panting and trying to keep itself alive for just a few more moments. The clouds go away, and it just, the body just lies still.
I twirl my staff around victoriously and flexing my lean muscles and say, I'm sparklier than you.
You tell her, Jamala!
Jamala, tonight, you have shined with a brighter light than I have seen in many years. Well done!
Better keep your shades on, Dean.
Yeah! Daddy-o or something.
So,
that's weird.
Aside from Chuck just kneeling on the ground and not having moved, really, it's just you guys in the village in a shack that's burning down.
And all of those people just disappeared?
They ran. If you had seen what they saw, they you would have run too. I mean, it was, you know, they were guards and hunters. They are not seasoned warriors who have seen, you know, the man in black and traveled through time and space and done all sorts of crazy shit. This was
excuses.
This was all of their nightmares becoming real all at the same time. And they just, they're somewhere in the jungle huddling, trying to wonder what the hell just happened.
Cool.
Despite my posturing, I am curious if there's anything that was, this poor young girl's body's obviously was possessed by something purely evil. Are there any signs of some kind of an artifact or amulet or anything demonic on her crippled body?
No, the only thing that seemed to of any value within like was the fetish staff that she used.
Did the king have any crown or jewels on?
Well, not in the sense that you guys would think they were jewels. I mean, he was decorated, but I mean, these guys live on a jungle island. It's not rich in gold or gems or anything like that. Their version of pretty things were, you know, really unique looking seashells and things like that, which in all reality, probably could fetch a pretty decent price, but it's not gold.
Dean was telling me a story about when Steve died, his neck got cut with an ornamental dagger.
No, well, it was
a skull staff. You didn't hear me. You just replaced dagger with whatever I said. There's the skull staff. Do you want the skull staff? It's right there.
I don't want a skull staff.
I'm going to set the skull staff on fire, and then I'm going to see whether or not Balin's dead.
Okay.
Right, I put dirt on him.
Yeah, put more dirt on him and dig a hole.
Balin, he's alive. He's probably, without real medical care, he might not live. But
well, that answers that question.
But I put dirt on him.
Yeah, you slowed down the bleeding, but you didn't stop it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't just, like, put it on there and then be like, all right, you're on your own. I'd, like, probably, like, continued applying pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you took off his you took off his armor and dressed the wounds and all that?
I'm not sure how much dressing was done, but I at least am in a position where I'm applying pressure to the wound and he's not, like, gushing blood.
Okay, let's see. Now I roll a one for Balin. So he got a hit point back, but he's not hemorrhaging anymore. So, but it's at least half an hour before if he's going to become conscious, that it's going to be at least half an hour.
Barty, there are some who shine too bright for this world.
Well, I mean, I kind of like Balin. I mean, Jamala, what do you think? You're the one who was into him.
That was never established. That was never concretely established.
I'm ignoring them. What's the situation with Chuck? Is he still cowering?
He's not cowering. He's just kind of on his knees, just like humbling himself before a dead king. You know, he hasn't made a move or anything.
I point my staff at him. Hey, Chuck, this is a big damn mess.
You killed them all.
There was some bad stuff going on, Chuck.
But the king, my king, I helped you. I told you. You killed them all.
But to be perfectly honest, Chuck, you didn't really tell us enough to make sure that we killed the right people. We just saw a bunch of bad things happening.
I told you, the chosen. The chosen. These were my people.
The people were killing other people.
My people were defending themselves from you.
That doesn't make any sense, Chuck.
Told you guys. I told you.
What'd you tell us, Barty? You didn't tell us anything.
Barty told you. I know he did. He told me that he told you, and why would Barty lie?
Yeah, why would Barty lie?
Barty's a nincompoop.
Don't nincompoop on me.
Tugwa was a bad priest. He taught the princess, the king's daughter, bad things. The chosen followed the bad man, but these were people. Just people. Just leave. Leave us.
Sorry about your king, Chuck.
Yeah.
The demon's gone. You can rebuild now.
Check it out. You could be King Chuck.
Let it be known. No outsider come here. They die. They all die.
Great. Now the people that he helped us before, we were outsiders. Now, if anybody falls on this island again, they're dead because of us. Damn. Way to go. Way to go, Jamal. It's all your fault.
Hey, Barty, slow down.
Can I punch him? Am I in punching range?
Yes.
I push Jamal off. In before she does it.
You get him with a tail.
No, I don't really have much of a tail. It's kind of short.
I'm pushing you off Dean.
I'm not on Dean anymore.
Yeah. You're ejected from War Machine.
Good riddance. All right, we're leaving.
Jamala, I could easily convert into a love machine that don't work for nobody but you.
Oh, God.
That's okay, Dean. I think now I'm celibate too.
Yeah, I hear you. Here's my wife right here. She's a big stone greatsword.
Are you guys going to leave Balin or take him with you? Or?
Yeah, we'll take... If he's still breathing, we'll take him.
Yeah, why not?
So are we at risk from, I don't know, Chuck finding the people who ran away and trying to kill us while we're still on the island or anything?
I doubt that they're going to attack us after we just took them out.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a colossal Call of Cthulhu sort of epic event for them. Yeah. He's going to have to step up and really take control of these guys and alleviate their fears and before they will make a move. But yeah, you guys have definitely poisoned them to outsiders. In all fairness, you guys didn't have much of a choice once the killing had started. From Dean's point of view, from everything that happened to Dean and everything that happened from Balin, there really wasn't much of a chance. It was going to be like an epic diplomatic win if you guys have been able to try and do something with that.
And we're not known for the talkie-talkie.
Right. No. Right. Somebody would have happened to, like, basically who have walked into a village, let themselves be captured, negotiate with somebody, convince them all that you're friends, and everybody can live happily ever after if they kill all the people with the black skulls. And, as you know, the princess, the daughter, she was in league with the priest anyway, so it would have taken a lot of finagling. So there's only really three ways of getting out of this island alive, and this was one of those three ways.
Yeah, better them than us.
Exactly.
So we're walking away out of the village, and we're headed towards the beach, and Dean has Balin, who's pretty much dead, on his shoulder or whatever.
Well, I don't really know what we accomplished at all, besides just sort of destroying a culture that was pretty much doing well on its own. But I think Balin, if he dies, I think he's going to die pretty happy. So I'm just going to put him down now and just put him right there. And then, you know, I'm sure the natives will be happy to receive him.
They're going to eat him. Pick him back up.
All right, I'll pick him back up, reverse, and here we go. Let's get on a boat and find V-Mac and drink some booze.
We'll drop Balin off at a nunnery.
Yeah.
And I've ever so much to talk about.
Now, he does have a nice sword, mace, and a shield.
And now he doesn't.
So we killed some monsters, so that was pretty good, but everything else was more or less miserable, and there was no treasure.
Jamala, you're forgetting something.
Oh?
On this dark island, we found a treasure that we had nearly forgotten, and it was our friendship. Here it is again, shining bright as ever.
You old so-and-so.
And you took down a demon.
Yeah, feel pretty good about that.
You probably leveled up like 300 times just from that alone.
That's one to grow on.
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would receive any information regarding that.
I'm walking away from his rambling. Lefty, let's go find a nice, uninhabited beach.
And a drink.
And some rum, and just kick back.
Hey, if you're gonna go find an uninhabited beach, make sure to bring the crystal.
Am I close enough to punch Barty in the face?
Wow, that's the second time in 20 minutes that you guys have said that.
We are mistresses of our own destiny, that is true. And as we sensually rub oils atop each other so that we don't crisp in the sun, it's only right that we should also be, rewarded for just doing that simple thing we would have been doing anyway.
I found some coconuts over here. We could just crack these babies open, and if you want, I can kind of make it into a little oil for you, if you want.
Bring the coconuts! All the coconuts to the dinghy! Vacation quest, go! The seaweed is always greener than a dragonborn's leg.
Yeah.
You dream about going up there, but it's full of demons and shit. Watch out for native islands with drums upon the winds. They're full of death and sadness. At the end, nobody wins.
Island of death.
Downward sweater, we'll all wear sweaters. No one's singing anymore. Just like a dragonborn to leave Galap in the lurch. And that Dean, what's up with that guy? He's pretty cool. I saw him on the cover of a muscle magazine one time. He told me about eating rats and eggs. I did that for a bit, but Galap can't commit to a fitness regimen. Will our heroes have a summertime beach party to alleviate their sorrows and, somehow manage to bury the excessive body count at the bottom of a barrel of rum? And coconut milk? And sensual bikini massages? Well, you'll find out if you subscribe to our premium channel. You get all the sensual massages you like. Look at all nip slips and down blouses abound. Oh, nut slips too. Well, just mostly in Galap's involved. Anyway, tune in next other month for another Dungeons and Doritos. And in the meantime, here's some tentacle porn.
Thank you for listening to Dungeons and Doritos. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive. Not just with Phoenix Downs, my dear, but by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating your hard-earned Doritos to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Dungeons and Doritos, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.